Blog Talk Radio.
Americans on Blog Talk Radio. We are so excited to be back on the air after a short hiatus, and Miss Perry has some great information to share with you tonight. And we're going to talk about the lifestyle of Americans today in 2015. On this special Labor Day show, we hope and pray that the information we give you will help you and lead you to health and wellness. And now, without further ado, here's our host for the evening. The information given by her is not to be used to supplement or to replace any of your physician's or your health provider's information, but is only to be used as reference information. And here, without further ado, is Miss Perry.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to Healthy Choices with Perry. We are here to inform, educate, and share information regarding your health and wellness. Our premise, we use the 8 laws of health. These principles are principles of health that, if applied systematically and regularly, they will make a difference in your health. The acronym we use to describe these 8 laws of health is New Start. N is for nutrition. E is for exercise. W is for water. S is for sunlight. T is for temperance. A is for air. R is for rest. And T is trust in divine power. These 8 principles will and can prevent and, yay, reverse chronic diseases, which are primarily, many of them related to our lifestyle choices, our improper use of water, our inadequate rest. We must get plenty of rest so the body is restored, rejuvenated, renewed to continue to function in an optimal way. If we're not getting the rest we need, how can we expect to be the best that we can be? We have not allowed our organs to properly rest. We need to get adequate amounts of sunlight, not overindulgence, but a temperate amount of sunlight, at least 15 minutes a day if you're fair, and maybe a little more if you're in the generation where your age is not going to prevent the amount of sunlight you need. We don't need to burn, but sunlight decreases cholesterol in our body. It is so beneficial in letting sunlight in our homes to destroy germs and bacteria. We need to remember to practice temperance in all things. We don't need to overeat. We don't need to oversleep. We don't need to overdo anything because you're violating necessary moderation. If we get too much sleep, we are not getting the exercise we need. The respiratory system is not getting what it needs. The circulatory system. We need to exercise temperance in all things. We need fresh air, fresh oxygen to rejuvenate and replenish the lungs, the respiratory system. We need our fresh air daily. And the best time to get fresh air is in the morning before all the pollutants are in the atmosphere. So the earlier we get air, the better. And once again, we need that rest. We need to practice temperance. We need these things to work together to perform optimally. These laws work together. There's no sense in eating healthy if we're going to do it in a way that's going to be one that leads to obesity. We can eat what we want to eat usually if we eat it in moderation. I don't advocate deprivation, but I do advocate moderation. If you like fried chicken, there's nothing wrong with that. But instead of eating, for instance, a whole bucket of KFC, maybe eat one or two pieces. You must gradually re-educate your taste buds to live to eat. And I'm sorry, that's the reverse, to live to eat, not primarily, but to live. We must eat nutrient-rich foods, not foods that taste good alone, but foods that are nutrient-rich for what our body requires. And today, we are focusing in on obesity because obesity is something that is unfortunately prevalent in our communities. And a lot of it can be prevented if we practice some of these principles I shared with you. For instance, temperance. We must practice temperance in how we eat. We must look at our portion sizes. We must not be willing to overeat and overindulge because it might taste good, but it's harmful to the body. Unnecessary fat leads to obesity, and obesity is linked with hypertension. It's linked with some forms of cancer. It's linked with cardiovascular disease. It's linked with many chronic diseases that we don't have to contract if we practice some of these or all of these laws of health. Yay, obesity is at epidemic proportions, and even now in the youth, in our children. And I want to share with you some childhood obesity facts from the Centers of Disease Control. For instance, childhood obesity has more than doubled in children and quadrupled in adults in the past 30 years. The percentage of children aged 6 to 11 years in the United States who were obese increased from 7% in 1980, nearly 18% in 2012. Similarly, the percentage of adults aged young adolescents, 12 to 19 years, who were obese increased from 5% to nearly 21% over the last few years, and that is up into 2012. And in 2012, more than one-third of children and adolescents were overweight or obese. And let me give you the definition to overweight and obesity. Overweight is defined as having excess amount of body weight for a particular height, fat, muscle, bone, or water, or a combination of these factors. Obesity is defined as having excess body fat. Overweight and obesity are the result of a caloric imbalance. In other words, too few calories expended for the amount of calories consumed. Basically, we're not exercising. We eat those large portions of food, and unfortunately, we sit down and watch television or DVD or things that are not causing us to move. We must move. Our bodies are meant to exercise, to move. And when I say exercise, it could be added into your daily routine. It's not necessarily joining a gym or health club. One quick tip, if you go to Walmart, don't park right at the front of the store. Park way in the back and get a good walk in. You can walk to your mailbox. There's so many things that we can incorporate. When we're watching television, we can march in front of the television. Or when we're laying down, we can lay down and do sit-ups on the commercial. We are so inclined to inactivity that it's difficult for us to even get into a regular exercise routine, but let's incorporate it in our regular lifestyle. For instance, we can take stairs sometimes instead of the elevators. We can march in place. We can do sit-ups. There's so many things we can do right in our home as opposed to sitting. And another thing, unfortunately, especially I noticed in the African-American communities, there are fast food stores on every corner. I'm thinking, wait a minute. What is with all this fast food in African-American communities? And we need to be aware of that, and we can decrease our visits to these fast food restaurants, because many times the calories are not healthy calories. They are unhealthy calories. Calories are filled with fat, sodium. These calories that we can do without, what I call empty calories, high fructose corn syrup, is another killer in our society. It does nothing but store fat. And when we don't exercise, that fat is not burned off. It continually stays in our body, makes us overweight, to obesity, even to obesity that leads to death, morbid obesity. These things ought not to be, and they can be prevented and reversed with some regular lifestyle changes. For instance, avoiding fast food restaurants, or at least decreasing the visitation to fast food restaurants, practicing moderation. Instead of eating four pieces of chicken, break it down to maybe two pieces of chicken, and break it down even more to one piece. Replace those empty calories, replace all the fat and the sugar with healthy fruits and vegetables. We can add salads to our food chain as opposed to adding sugary sweets, sugary juices. These things add empty calories. We must fight back. And fighting back does not necessarily mean paying for expensive exercise programs and paying for weight loss shakes and paying for gym memberships. Fighting back means incorporating some things into your regular lifestyle choices, walking to the mailbox, taking elevators, parking further away from the stores. There's so many things we can do right now today. If you're not used to exercising for 30 minutes a day, start out with 5 minutes. Walk in place for 5 minutes. Increase it every week. Don't overdo it. Moderation is the key, especially if we're not used to a particular activity. We can do it the smart way. Don't overdo it, but take your time and prevent using weights. If you're not used to weights and trying to burn that fat, start with a simple walking protein program. Walking is free. You can walk around your backyard. You can walk around with a neighbor. Just try some regular activities that you can do on your own without the use of your bank account. Let me share some more information with you. I think we have a caller? And if we do, I want to take a minute to pause for our caller, and we're going to see what the caller has to say. But I hope you not only listen, but I advocate wisdom and application. It must be applied knowledge. And I think I have the caller on the phone. I'm going to let our moderator pick up that caller. Yes, caller, you're on Healthy Choices with Perry.
Yes, Ms. Perry. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm trying to find out how I can beat this fat I got around my belly. I've had it all my life. My father had it. My auntie's got it. And my kids are starting to get it. So I'm just concerned because I'm not losing no weight. I'm just getting bigger and bigger. And I'm trying to eat right, but it just don't seem to work for me.
Well, caller, I appreciate that call. And because you're calling with such an important question, because the question you have, that question is probably on the minds of many people. That's why the weight loss industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. But I advocate not buying the fad products and the fad weight loss programs. But like I said earlier, implement some regular things into your life. And I understand you're saying that your relatives have it, your father, your grandfather may have had this problem. What I advocate is a regular, that's the key. We must have a systematic program to weight loss, one that we can do without the incorporation of money, but one we can do on our own, because oftentimes if money is involved, many of us may or may not stick to it. So I advocate to you, caller, start a regular walking program, even one if you're not used to walking, as I said earlier. Do it 5 minutes a day. Increase it in the afternoon to 10 minutes. Increase it next week to 15 minutes. And also, caller, be very aware of what you're consuming, because weight loss has to be a multi-symptomatic approach. You must look at your nutritional intake. You must look at your water. You must drink plenty of water. Water metabolizes fat. You must look at eating more fruits and vegetables. You'll find less calories in vegetables, as opposed to, if you like the hard chippy food, you may want to have something to eat that's, as opposed to a potato chip, try some carrot sticks or try some seeds or nuts, because these can give you the satisfaction of a crunchy snack without the empty calories of potato chips or candy or things that you want to eat but are not good for you. For instance, replace those sugary beverages, those sodas, those sugary juices. Replace that with nice, fresh, cold water. Replace it with something that you can drink readily and you're not drinking your calories, because oftentimes many of us drink our calories, and that is one of the worst ways to get calories, because you consume more. Instead of a vanilla ice cream shake, drink some lemon water or fruit water, which is simply water that is freshened or seasoned by fruit. Lemonade. And lemonade does not have to have sugar in it. Once again, let's re-educate our taste buds to foods that are going to be constructive and not destructive. We have one body, and that one body is not ours. It is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It is a temple of divinity. We must take care of it. It's not ours. We assume it's ours, but it's not. We must take care of the temple of God. Feed it properly. Exercise daily. Prevent foods that are primarily empty calories, not enough nutritional value, or maybe even none. As I mentioned earlier, replace fatty foods with healthy foods. And don't do it overnight. Do it gradually. I'm not going to believe and advocate deprivation, but I will advocate moderation, reducing the intake of fatty foods, reducing the intake of sugary drinks, reducing the intake of sugary sodas, reducing the intake of fatty desserts. Instead of an ice cream shake, try a slice of watermelon. Try a fresh pear. Mangoes are a wonderful fruit. They are loaded. These fruits are loaded with nutrients, vitamins, phytochemicals, phytonutrients that will energize your body. But even with that, we must exercise temperance. We don't want to eat three mangoes, especially if we're diabetic, but just eat a half a mango or one mango. Eating in moderation is so important. Deprivation, I believe, is not the key. In other words, depriving yourself, saying no to this, no to that. But gradually replace these things and reduce the consumption of these unhealthy foods. So a listener, the one who just called in, I hope those things, some of those things have been helpful to you, because these are things you can implement right now in your lifestyle without buying a diet drink or a diet shake, or just something you can implement right now. Drink more water. Get your proper rest. Make your body function at its optimal levels. Because if we don't do that, it's going to be difficult to lose weight, because our bodies are undigested. Our bodies need an adequate, holistic program to weight loss. Not just saying, well, I'm going to go on a diet. A diet is just that first three letters, D-I-E, die. It does not work. Your body does not respond. There must be a holistic approach to weight loss, not just deprivation, but introduce moderation and healthy eating into your life gradually, so that you will not be discouraged, but you'll be encouraged, because it's not just about weight loss. It's about total health and wellness. And these are the things we must implement in a systematic, regular way, every day, daily. Get that sunlight in a moderate way. Don't get out there and burn. Get out there and get sunlight rays. They can come through your eyes, your skin, reduce the cholesterol in a natural way. Sunlight is a natural reduction to cholesterol. Temperance, get the fresh air, get your proper rest. Trust in divine power, which is the most important principle of all, trusting in God. We must implement these things. We must fight back obesity. We must fight back in a way that's going to be successful. It does not happen overnight, but it can begin overnight. Many of us did not, well, none of us gained this weight overnight, so let's not expect to lose it overnight. So once again, caller, I'm hoping that helped you. I know I talk a lot, but let me get back to my caller. Caller, what do you say to some of those things?
Well, it sounds good, but I don't know. I like my fried chicken. I like my ribs. I like my buttermilk biscuits. I don't know. I don't drink too much water. I drink some Diet Cokes, Mountain Dews. But I'm going to try what you said. You make a lot of sense, but I done got some bad habits built up over the years. So let me ask you, Ms. Perry, how much water should I drink on a daily basis?
Well, there are several schools of thought on that. And one school of thought I share is drinking the amount of water adequate to your body weight. For instance, if you're maybe 200 pounds, the nutritionists recommend that you drink half your body weight in fluid ounces. For instance, it's advocated or it's advised that if you're 200 pounds, drink at least 100 ounces of water every day. And there's a systematic way to drink in water even. Don't try to drink it all at one time because, believe it or not, that does not aid hydration. That aids possibly an over amount of water in the body at one time, which can lead to fluid retention. So you want to get your water gradually through the day. Maybe in the morning, first thing in the morning is so important. Drink at least 2 glasses of water and at least, you know, the glass, maybe an 8-ounce glass of water. Just pure water, room not too hot or not too cold, but room temperature. So drink your glasses of water, at least 2 glasses, first thing in the morning. And then in the afternoon, you can add another glass of water, preferably at least an hour before your afternoon meal. And you want to drink the water throughout the day, sipping and having a glass of water at your desk if you're working at a desk, or having a bottle of water just with you wherever you are. And sipping water, drinking water throughout the day, not at one time, but throughout the day, keeping the body hydrated on a regular basis, thoroughly hydrated throughout the day is what we should do to prevent dehydration. Drinking it in the morning, drinking it in the afternoon, and you want to avoid drinking it too late at night to avoid the excessive amount of urinating when you should be sleeping. You don't want to be drinking water and it's going to keep you up all night going to the bathroom. Drink it at least, your last amount of water should be drunk at least maybe 2 hours before you rest, before you go to bed. You want to avoid, the term is the drinking water at night leads to nocturia. It's night urination, because there's been too much water consumed right before you go to bed. So get your water in. But once again, there are principles we need to exercise in getting that water in. There are principles we need to exercise in eating the foods we eat. We must use principles of health to regulate our eating, our drinking, our sleeping. The body is made to heal itself if it is properly fueled, properly managed. And once again, you don't need a doctor's prescription necessarily to drink water. You don't need a doctor's prescription necessarily to go for a walk. But if you are under doctor's orders and doctor's medication, please don't stop that. But be your best doctor by educating yourself and implementing principles in your life with the help of your physician or another healthcare professional that you could drink water, you can eat nutritional things, but we must do it wisely. We must practice moderation. You know, eating fruit is good for you. But if you're diabetic, don't sit there and eat three bananas. Don't eat bananas and strawberries. Reduce, because fruit has sugar also. It's fructose, and sugar and fruit can also be harmful if you don't practice moderation, if you eat too much of it. But once again, I don't advocate deprivation of fruit. I want to say don't eat fruit, but at least manage the amount you eat. Be aware of what it does to your body. Once again, I say diabetics a lot because there's so many people who have been attacked or who've contracted type 2 diabetes. Therefore, they must exercise principles of eating fruit. They must exercise taking their blood sugar. Take your blood sugar and see what it is before you eat the fruit, because oftentimes you may not be able to eat the fruit if your blood sugar is too high. And then take your, after you eat fruit, if you're able to eat it after your blood sugar has been taken and it's not overly high, it's not hyperglycemic, you may want to look at that and eat fruit. And if it's hypoglycemic, the fruit won't hurt you. But always monitor your blood sugar before and after consuming meals, especially meals that are potentially high in sugar. We must be our own advocates, our best advocate, our biggest cheerleader of our health. Your doctor's not always there with you. Your healthcare professional may not always be there with you. It is important that we educate ourselves about things we should do and should not do when it takes to consuming beverages, consuming food, exercising. These are all healthy principles, but they must be used in a way that's going to be advantageous to your body. And once again, I am so glad you listened to me all this time. I know I have a mouthful of wonderful suggestions, I hope. We don't want to waste your time. So once again, look for us on Healthy Choices with Perry on Facebook. And we're also on Twitter. We're also on Instagram. We have posts on Pinterest. So please feel free to follow us on YouTube. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful evening. Hope to see you. I hope to hear you next Monday at 6 o'clock.
Yes, Ms. Perry, thank you so much for that wonderful information. We are so blessed to have you in our circles. And just wanted to give you live listeners, especially the one in Atlanta and a couple of people others that have called in, our show is about to transition now to the non-interactive portion. In other words, you won't be able to get into our chat room, which has been open the entire broadcast. But after the intermission, which will be in the next minute, Ms. Perry will still provide you with some very, very valuable information, preventative measures for obesity, if you are still on the line. And I see that we still have the gentleman from Atlanta still on the line with us. We thank you very kindly. So now we'll transition to our on-demand portion of the show, which you can get at blogtalkradio.com/healthychoiceswithperry.
Territory, fighting unseen enemies like never before. We're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh, yes.
Anoint my feet.
Send the
raining down here on the battleground.
For your glory,
for your glory,
we're taking
territory, fighting unseen enemies
like never before.
Good evening. Welcome to Healthy Choices with Perry. And we are going to continue our discussion about obesity. We're going to talk about preventative measures to fight, yay, reverse this chronic disease of obesity, which is linked with many chronic diseases, including hypertension, including cancer, cardiovascular disease. People, we must fight back. And I'm going to give you some ways to fight back. Of course, healthy lifestyle habits, including eating healthy foods and including physical activity. They can lower your risk of becoming obese and developing those related diseases. Simply eating healthy and involving yourself in some regular activity. The dietary and physical activity behaviors of children and adolescents are influenced by many sectors of society, including families. For instance, the caller who called in earlier on our show, he indicated that obesity within his family, his father, his uncles, and even his children are showing signs of obesity. So these are things that we can look at implementing. Once again, healthy eating and regular physical activity. And these behaviors can be influenced by family, community, schools, child care settings, medical care providers. We need to look at sectors that may influence in a way that can be positive, not only negative, but look at what's going on around you. When I look in some communities, some factors that I believe are leading to obesity is the prevalence of fast food restaurants. Today I saw a fast food poster. It was advertising a bacon shake. I was like, what is that? And I look closer, it's a shake. It's already got all of the fat-laden ice cream, the dairy loaded in there. But then they added bacon. I'd never heard of that. Bacon and a shake. And then the same restaurant is advertising bacon. I think it was bacon french fries or baconator. I was like, what's going on? What's going on, people? Are the risk factors that's killing us softly? You may not die immediately, but I'm telling you, all of these factors that we're seeing around us in our communities have a tendency to influence in a negative way. But we also must look at those things with influence in a positive way. We see people in the communities walking. We see gyms in the community, which you don't have to join to get physically fit. You can do it right there in your home. I know several individuals who don't go